Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello everyone, Peter Mingles here. You are listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's Peter Mingles here. We are live on our Building Fortunes Radio platform every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. on the Pacific side with a great friend of ours. His name is Jean-Luc. Jean-Luc originally comes from France. He sometimes calls in from his sailboat, and I don't know where he is today. Maybe he's calling in from his sailboat. Which is really kind of cool because we've had some really great conversations on Building Fortunes Radio when he's at his sailboat, and it's always kind of neat to be able to talk to him. And this is the first weekend in a row, so first weekend in a row, that I haven't had to worry about a friggin' hurricane over here in Florida. So we are here without having to worry about being blown away or cleaning up or whatever, and it's kind of cool. So it's neat to be over here. Kind of sad because it's getting darker way earlier than I want to, and on November 3rd, they changed the clocks back even sooner, so that really sucks. I'm a light guy. I'd rather have the light than the dark. So, and I guess I might have to get up earlier, but I'm not going to do that because just based on the work schedule we have over here. But anyway, as we go through our little ramble, we are on our 400-something radio show, I know. And we are going to talk about whatever we're going to talk about on our Building Fortunes Radio platform with a great friend of ours, Jean-Luc. So, Jean-Luc, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Peter. My first question for you is, how are you doing in Florida with all these hurricanes?
You know, the second one was the bigger one for us. So Hurricane Helene is the one that really did a lot of damage on Tallahassee, and then up north, of course, into North Carolina. And Milton is the one last week that went straight across, hit us kind of a little bit south of where we are, but lots of wind, lots of palm trees falling all over the place. And in Florida, the leaves of a palm tree are not like the leaves on your oak tree. You know, if you might be in the Midwest or something like that, they're those long sticks that have those long things that get dried out as it grows up. So we have a lot of those palm fronds fall over the place. And unfortunately, a lot of them got in my pool because it ripped apart my screens. So in Florida, it's really hard to keep screens on lanais. A lanai, for those people that aren't familiar with that, is a screened-in area that you would put over your pool to keep all the, you know, stuff that flies all over the place out. But unfortunately, this was such a really whipping hurricane, and tornadoes were all around us. They ripped us.
Hello? Peter, I think you still have some communication problem in Florida.
Did I fade out for a little bit?
Peter, you get.
Okay, so you speak.
Okay. I was losing you time to time, and you have some cut. I was saying maybe you still have some connection problem in Florida. Okay, tonight is the 18th of October. We are on 406 radio show together, and I'm glad you are better. The palm tree, we know this in California because we have something, we have the same one, and when the leaves go around, they can hurt you very bad, see, because they are pretty thick. And also we have I remember one year he was in Pasadena. Oh my God, he have oak tree on a street, and all the street in Pasadena and all Pasadena area was completely damaged, and we cannot drive car out of this because all the street was completely blocked by trees and many other stuff, you know. But I'm glad
right.
you go okay.
So can you hear me a little bit? And I reset it, but I don't think that fixed it.
Yeah, I hear you. Just time to time you have a cut, but I hear you now.
Okay.
You want to say something?
No, I just want to make sure you can hear me.
Yeah, okay. I hear you.
Okay, good.
I have a question for you, Peter. Do you think we are heading with World War III?
I know you're going to say we're already in World War III. So I'd say we're getting close to it. I mean, we're certainly ready for it. If it happened tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, no, me too. He have a German publication named The Bild, B-I-L-D, is a publication in Germany. Say Ukraine can have a nuclear weapon in weeks.
Well,
meaning,
they had them before.
Sorry? I didn't hear you now.
Ukraine had nuclear weapons before.
No, they don't have it before.
Well, they gave them all away. They gave them all away.
Now they have the material to... Yeah, Ukraine, when it was the USSR, was under the USSR, and they have a nuclear capability at this time, but after when it become independent, I don't think they have the nuclear capability except Chernobyl, but
right.
Something happened in Chernobyl, you know. But now they have all the material to build in a few weeks to build a nuclear nuke. And Zelensky is crazy enough to make a speech and he say Ukraine will have a nuclear weapon and will use it. I paraphrase, okay? Or we need to have a NATO, meaning he deal in one point we use a nuclear capability, or on the other side, we have NATO going with us against Russia, and what does he want is to knock Moscow, you know.
Right.
And Russia is well aware of that, and because if Jean-Luc in California knows this, I'm sure the Russian government knows this even before me. And the Russia can destroy any Ukraine installation with nuclear capability, and also take on NATO, and taking on NATO is taking on the U.S.
Right.
You can do both.
Yep. I just switched my phone over, Jean-Luc, to a different number, so I should be okay. Oh, crap.
Yep. I still hear you. He look like better, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do I sound better now?
Yeah, you sound better.
Okay. Okay, good. Sorry about that. I just had to switch over to my cell phone.
No problem. It's a technical.
Yep.
Technical issues. We have sometimes when we are go live, it's technical difficulty, but we can go through.
Yep.
Okay, this is one side of the world. On the other side, Israel want to nuke Iran. And Iran already, we know that, have a nuclear capability. From the U.S., by the way. And this is for that I say, are we going to World War III? Because this government said, no, we will continue to help Ukraine. We cannot stop to go to war because it's a proscry war against Russia, between the U.S. and Russia. And they will continue and push like they have pushed before, because we talk about this. The U.S. government never want to sign the peace treaty. It was draft 1 month after the war start, you know. And now for what, 3 years, they continue to kill people and all of this for basically nothing.
Right.
And I heard recently that Iran have a nuclear weapon, or I have a weapon is even more powerful than the nuke, and they have no radiation. They have an avant-garde hypersonic glide vehicle. You know what it is?
No.
It's a Russian vehicle. They can have a missile. They go to Mach 27. Mach 27, for people who are listening, is 27,000 kilometers per hour. You cannot stop it. And I think you have different, on the head, you can have different, the possibility to prompt, I think it's 12 or 15 different head inside. It can be nuclear or not, but you have the possibility to have this. And Mach 27 is very, very fast. Very fast.
Right.
And they signed recently an agreement with Russia to help each other, meaning if the U.S. go against Iran, they will find Russia on the front, and because they signed a military cooperation together,
mm-hmm.
Russia, Iran.
So,
okay. This is not good.
No. Well, I mean, the idea of nuclear, first of all, anybody that does anything nuclear, even if they think they do it on a limited basis, is going to start World War III, and then it's going to be over pretty quickly. So it was nice knowing you. We might not have another show. There's going to be an escalation beyond measure. So I don't think anybody's stupid enough to use it, hopefully. But then again, I shouldn't say that, because there are some really stupid politicians.
The pleonasm, we say. You know what was a pleonasm?
No.
It's when you say two times the same thing, basically. You say stupid
okay.
politician, many
oh, okay.
politicians are already stupid. It's the only profession you don't need a license to exert is to be a politician, you know?
True.
And,
yep.
Yeah, most of them are stupid. Both are, because I was listening, it was 2 years ago, what is the guy in Texas, Ted Cruz, going after Russia because he was for blowing the pipeline or stopping the gas from Russia going to Germany. I said, what is your concern, okay? Why you didn't try to make friends with every country in the world if the U.S. have been done this for the last 80 years, the situation will be completely different today, you know? But when you conquer every country and go to war on many countries and try to steal something, you cannot make friends this way. You make enemy everywhere you go. And these people, at one point, they go together and say, okay, my enemy is your enemy. Let's go and fight these people.
Right.
Have you heard that in North Carolina, you have some on some small city named Gambler? He's on your side. You have they put tornado shelter on this city.
Say that one more time. I just didn't kind of understand what you said.
In a small city named Gambler in North Carolina, they bring tornado shelter, and this tornado
mm-hmm.
shelter have been guarded by some military, it's not really military, but it's like military guy by a company named Strategic Security. He look like
okay.
this guy, military, and they put all this shelter on this area, and he have been someone who goes there, and his name is a woman named Al. Anne van der Steel. And
yeah, I know Anne van der Steel.
Yeah, and she investigates and say, why do you put all these shelter guarded by like military people here? See, with gun, rifle, and all of this, and she cannot go inside and continue her investigation.
So you're saying that Anne van der Steel is asking, why are you guys guarding these temporary shelters?
Yes. Tornado. tornado shelter, something.
Oh, okay.
They arrive with a three axle wheeler because they are so heavy, and they put plenty of them in this area. And she go to here and try to investigate, but she was stopped at the entrance by this paramilitary people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know in this area I have a lithium mine, and you try to add up all of this, and on the other side, when you know some Fed agent have been in training, and the training was consisting to make these people aware and train them to airtight their house completely, and to have at least 3 weeks to provide from food for themselves. Here in this country, this happened in this country. Some people are trained for something, because if you airtight your house, it's because you are afraid of nuclear or radiation or chemical or bacteria or something, and this it can come in your house and kill you.
So you say they're trying to airtight their home because they're worried about
some kind of nuclear.
They train
this federal agent to say, and they train them, and they say, okay, you need to tear high your home, and what you need to do is this, and you need to have the possibility to stay 3 weeks without to go out of your home and to have food, water, electricity, and everything.
Okay. So that's what they're trying to educate people, that they have to be that ready.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is specific people. It's federal agents, you know.
Right.
It's not everyone like you and me, but we need to be trained on that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about when the U.S. start to go after Russia, you know when does it start?
Well, they've been going after Russia forever.
Yes, they have been forever. I think they start in June, at the end of World War II, because Russia fight against the Hitler army and want against him, and this didn't please to the U.S. government at this time. But it was Brezhnev, Brzezinski in 1970 who created a map, and I saw this map 1 year ago. He created a map of Russia when they divide Russia in three different countries.
Okay.
And why the U.S. government want to do that?
Because the government doesn't like Russia. And they probably want the resources as well.
Exactly. Do you know what is the value of the Russian country?
They have a lot of natural resources like oil, natural gas.
Yeah. Minerals.
No, they got shitty farmland. They don't have such great farmland because it's too cold. But Russia's huge. I mean, Russia's like 11 time zones.
Russia, 11 time zone when you go east to west, and is the number one country in this world by the superficie of the country, but also is the number one by the value of the country. The value of this country is $75 trillion.
Well,
and the U.S. is $45 trillion.
Well,
minus maybe $220 trillion in debt, I think the U.S. is bankrupt.
Yeah.
And
you
know
US
how much the third country is Iran with $30 trillion.
Iran with what?
Iran, the value of Iran is $30 trillion.
Okay.
And the fourth one in China was $20 trillion.
I don't know where they got those numbers from.
some numbers, the value each country compared to the, I think the GDP, the resource, or I don't know exactly how they calculate.
Right.
But what they publish is, okay, what is a country has the most value in if we put this in dollar, is Russia.
Right.
Number one.
Right. Okay. Well,
if you add Iran and China, it's bigger than the U.S.
Right. Well, we're watching the unsettling, if you will, of the United States as almost like a sole superpower. So watching that happen by the day, you know, China, Russia, the BRICS, you know, the BRICS dollar,
yep,
that you referenced on previous radio shows. So we're watching the decline of the U.S., which is not unpredictable. Probably predictable based on the mismanagement.
If you look at every empire, what happened, every empire at one point or another completely declined and done. You look at the Roman Empire, at one point, Nero, this crazy guy, was burning Rome and destroying all of this. Okay, you look at the French Empire, same thing, boom, done. You look at the British Empire, was one of the one who was running and running with the British pound and all basically the world. He has been done too. He's no British Empire anymore. And after he was the U.S. Empire. But now we are assisting at the end of the U.S. Empire.
Right. And we screwed it up in about 100 years. Actually less than that. Probably 70 years we screwed it up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
Rome probably took longer than 100, I would imagine. England probably took longer than 100. France probably took longer than 100. We just screwed it up in less than 100.
You go up fast and you screw fast.
Yeah.
It's like a battery. If you charge a battery too fast, they go down too fast. You need to charge slowly. Okay. But this is something. Now, talking about this empire, Peter, we have the election next month. Now is what, 20 days, something like this?
Something like, yeah, a little bit less than that.
Okay, now I have a question for you. And do you know who validates the next president?
Validates the next president?
Yeah, let's say we have let's say we have the next president. Let's say we have Trump as the next president. Who validates the election of this new president?
You know, I think that's what they do on January 6th. So I don't know specifically, but for some reason, I remember there was a little kerfuffle around January 6th because they were actually making it official.
Yeah.
So, and then obviously he takes his oath shortly after that. But
who receives this new president and say, okay, you are the new president and validate the election?
You know, I think so. This is explaining and underscoring my ignorance publicly. So I appreciate you doing that to me. I think it's Congress. I think it's Congress that actually does it.
No.
Or the vice president.
Exactly. The vice president, the actual vice president, need to confirm the new president on his role as a new president.
Right.
Do you see the
conflict
of interest here?
Yeah. Well, I could see that Kamala Harris is going to have to say, it's me.
Okay.
And so
she's got to confirm
herself.
If Trump, you will say, no, it's me. And we end
right,
up with two
gonna...
presidents. Do you think Kamala Harris will recognize Trump as a president if he's elected?
If he's elected, she will.
Huh?
If Trump wins the election, I think we're going to have a clean transfer of power. Now, they're going to contest it like crazy, but it's still going to be a clean transfer of power. So everything will go through correctly. So they'll try to throw, you know, some headwind at it, but I don't think so. That's if Trump wins. And I think the same thing if Kamala wins. I think the days of
if the election is not rigged, I will recognize the president elected. He already says that.
Yeah, but that means he's already
so precise if the election are not rigged, are not have been.
Right. So that's either that's a naive statement on his part or whatever, but the election is already rigged. I mean, so there's no question about whether the election is rigged or not. The election is already rigged.
Yeah.
So with all the illegal immigrants coming in, being able to vote without voter ID, it's already rigged.
Yeah, so, we know that, and I'm sure he knows that. For that, if the election have been done legally and correctly, okay, I will recognize. Now he's preparing himself to contest the result if he's not elected, because he knows the election, the Democrats are rigging the election already.
Yeah, but now they have so many people in so many states that they can say are voting, the election is already over because they have enough people to cheat as much as they need, if they need to at all. We got to remember, we're in our own little bubble as far as, you know, some people like Trump. There's a vast majority that don't like Trump. If there was a person called not Trump running for president, that person called not Trump would win by the largest landslide in American history. Because
I think many people who will vote for Trump. This is a Trump supporter. You have many people who didn't especially like Trump, but didn't hate him, and they say, okay, he's the guy we need to stop the bleeding of this country at least, and to put the country on a correct path because he already have done it. And some people, both high, are not that stupid. They say, yes, we need to have this guy to stop the bleeding. And you have the hater of Trump, and I'm sure these people will vote Democrat. But if Trump wins, I am not sure Kamala Harris will recognize him as a new president. I'm not sure of that, like you are, Peter. You are very optimistic.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they should. So, because they're all about transfer power and keeping election integrity and all of that sort of stuff. But I think that is, I just don't think that's a possibility, because I think there's enough illegal voters. There's enough rules that have not been changed or have just recently been overturned that it's going to be no contest. What I mean by that, too, is like in the state of Georgia, and I could be wrong, but in the state of Georgia, they passed a law that they wanted hand-counted paper ballots. And everybody basically threw up their hands in victory. We got it. Hand-counted paper ballots. And then just recently, that was overturned. So now they can't have it. Now they can't have hand-counted paper ballots in the state of Georgia. So there you go. Georgia's already lost. So it's just they're gonna do what they're gonna do to make sure they win. So they're gonna do everything that they
can. I agree with that. We can expect them to do everything in their power to win, even to cheat this election and to trick it and to put this illegal immigrant for voting. You know, it was the purpose to bring these people here. Okay, but I'm still optimistic. Trump will be elected. I know you're not her. You are not that optimistic, but I am, because this country needs to stop to bleed. You know, we need to stop the bleeding of this country, and one way or another, and to put this country back in a correct path to go back what America was before, and you have a lot to do. I remember when I was when I arrived in this country, it was June 12, 1997. Yeah, I was not able to speak with you, Peter, because I was not speaking English. And when I arrived in this country, especially I arrived in your state, in Florida, on the other part of Tampa area is where I arrived. And after 2 months in Tampa, in June and July, it was so humid, so hot, and all of this. I have bought a big Lincoln Continental and put all the family and drove all across the country, east to west, and visiting Louisiana, visiting New Orleans, visiting the Grand Canyon, and arriving in LA, you know. But I was feeling the freedom. It's like you can touch it. Okay? And I remember at this time the gallon of gas was 99 cents.
That's crazy.
Now, when Trump was president here in California, we were paying $2.50, which it was good because he was two decades after. But Biden arrived $7.50. Boom.
Wow.
And even now we pay $5, huh? Or close to $5.
That's crazy.
Crazy. And the energy is something this country needs, because when you look at all these big corporations creating data center for AI, the data center for AI use more energy than mining Bitcoin. And mining Bitcoin was talking a lot of energy. But this data center, and I talk about is it your field, Peter? And data center use a lot of energy. And they even plan to continue to drill for the oil, but also to reopen some coal mine to use the coal and to create more energy for this data center.
Mm-hmm.
And they are building mega data center everywhere in the country.
Yeah, well, they're counting on AI for sure. You know, I don't know where I heard it from, but they're trying to figure out, like they're doing the directed weapons. I heard that, and I have to research this a little bit more, but I heard that they were trying to put basically like solar panels in space to be able to collect the energy, and then they'd throw the energy from the solar panels to land like a lightning bolt. And that's what they're working on. So they're going to harness the solar power from space, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool, yeah. Technology is very interesting. You know, when you use for helping the people on this planet, when you use on a bad way to destroy, it's not cool at all, because something like this, you can use it to create more energy, but you can use it also as a weapon.
Yeah.
Well, pretty easy to imagine. You know, you can have this solar panel, you can create a laser, and you can destroy something on other countries.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy.
It's crazy that this planet is a small planet on this universe, and we have only one, at least on this immediate universe, where we can live. It's crazy that these people cannot arrive to do themselves more creative and not destructive, and to conquer the other planet and do something positive on this planet. It's completely crazy. Yep. We didn't arrive this. And I remember when I was at the Army, it was on June 72, because it was mandatory in France. I don't have the choice to be or not to be. If I was not, they come to after me and put me in jail, because I don't like the Army, you know, because taking a gun to kill someone, to steal something is not my is not what I want to do, or to favorite some politician who want to do something. I didn't like this kind of stuff.
Right.
And they, right. At this time, I remember when we were on training, they say, oh, yeah, the nuclear capacity on this planet in 72 was they have the possibility to destroy the planet. I don't remember the exact number, but it was something like 15 or 20 times. And I ask why one time is not enough.
Right.
And the yep. guy was surprised I asked this question because in 72 we have all the nuclear power at this time have the possibility to destroy the whole planet 15 times, I think. Something like
well,
this.
Well, for the planet,
imagine
I
now.
Suspect, yeah, I know. Well, for the planet, I suspect for the planet, the best thing that would happen would be we would destroy ourselves because this way it would go back to nature, which would be a little bit more civilized, for lack of a better expression. So I'm rooting for Mother Nature long term. So it'll eventually
yeah, but
happen. It always does.
Peter is not sure we have nature again because it's very long term. You talk about million years because if we have a nuclear war on this planet and the planet become radioactive, nothing can live on it.
Yeah, it'll appear that way, but you know the funny thing about nature, it usually figures its way out. So maybe we'll have like
yeah.
cockroaches. Maybe we'll have like cockroaches. You know, a new division of cockroaches, which would probably be a little bit better. Maybe no,
yeah.
maybe no. We don't need we don't need people. Maybe just insects.
Yeah, maybe, Peter, you need to prepare yourself when you will quit this body and you will shake for another one
that's,
to be in a crack body.
You're right. You're right.
I'm
you're
not
right.
prepared for that. You know, I will find maybe another planet when I can live with a nicer body. Because cockroach, and in Florida, you have a big cockroach, you know?
I do. They're big as friggin' horses.
Maybe you will be the next big cockroach, Florida, after this planet will be destroyed.
Yep. There you go. I promise. Anyway, so guess what, Jean-Luc? It's already after hours. We're done with our radio show.
Yeah, okay.
So,
funny radio show. But is
yeah.
when you look at... When you add up everything going around the world, going in this country... you know, people who didn't prepare themselves for the worst, I think they miss something, okay? Because,
right.
like I said, prepare for the worst, expect it didn't arrive, and like this. And if you eat the food you have bought 3 years ago, you eat something cheap, because now all the food is, what, 50% increase, and almost
oh,
everywhere.
Gosh, yeah. Food
yeah.
sucks.
Yep. Yeah, this sucks too. Yeah.
No safe food. No safe food. Unless you grow it yourself, you can't consider it safe.
Yeah.
Well, very interesting. So thank you, Jean-Luc, for being on our radio show. Have a great weekend. I'm going to go back to doing the stuff that I'm working on, trying to fix my friggin' phone. So
okay,
we are going to be back. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, thank you. Be
okay.
To people who listen to us, prepare yourself for the worst and expect it didn't arrive is what I want to repeat. But be
perfect.
A prepper. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, well, be prepared is right. Okay, so we're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. And Jean-Luc, thanks for being here. Thanks for being my friend. And we'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.